Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and maybe you've heard the United Nations estimate that by 2050, 70% of the world's population will live in cities. Take a second to let that set in as we get ready for 10 ideas for an innovative city. The expansion of cities means big challenges, and a new exhibit at the Guggenheim reflects a project to collect and distill what people talk about when they talk about the future of urban life. In Participatory City, 100 Urban Trends from the BMW Guggenheim Lab, the museum has highlighted 100 ideas, big and small, that cities around the world are grappling with. Curator Maria Nicanor joins me now to talk about 10 of these trends from the glossary of ideas in this exhibit at the Guggenheim. We'll see how many of them we can get into. Welcome to WNYC, Maria.
Thank you. Welcome.
And let's jump right in with a term that I hear you coined yourself. It's Department of Listening, term number 27 in the glossary. What's a Department of Listening?
Well, this is a term that came up a couple of years ago in the United Nations Social Media Week when we were talking about social media and cities and the potential of new technologies in helping you participate more efficiently in city life. So we started talking about this term a little bit as a joke about wouldn't it be wonderful to have a department of listening where someone would actually listen to your request and immediately take action. And go figure, it seems like we actually do have one in New York City.
Do you mean like 311?
No, not 311. I think you talked, I think last week or a couple of weeks ago, with Michael Flowers from the New York City Department of Analytics.
Oh, yes.
And he is a big part of what happens in 311 and the data that is collected through 311 to actually take those calls into action and to apply a little bit of common sense to what they're measuring in the city.
All right, so that's one. Urban trend number 4 on your list, the aging population. Now, obviously, we've talked about this as a big issue in New York City and the United States, but this is a global challenge for cities?
It's definitely a global challenge. There's 20% of the population that is older than 65 years old. And in 2016, every third person will be that age as well. So it's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity to try to empower people to try to engage a little bit more in intergenerational interaction, which is what we were trying to focus on with this term, about the importance of not getting isolated in your own age groups when in an urban environment and how important it is to live in mixed neighborhoods where you can actually interact with younger and older people.
And the program cites a shift in the way cities are studied. You note that it's less about infrastructure these days and more about the human experience in urban life. Is the aging population an example of that shift?
That is a good example, yes. I am not an architect, and most of the people that worked in this exhibition and in the Guggenheim labs are in the social side of cities. And we were very interested in analyzing buildings on one side, but more interested in how those buildings and that infrastructure affects your everyday life. So that's part of what the show looks at, is at new trends and ideas that people are worried about in their daily life.
And we've talked about that a lot in our Sandy anniversary coverage, that the physical infrastructure isn't the only thing that matters to a successful city. It's really the social infrastructure. So Sandy or no, this is a global conversation in cities.
Absolutely, and it's more about well-being and how that is affecting us. And part of what we try to do with the show is to show a little bit of what actions we can take, sometimes very metaphoric actions, sometimes very small actions that can change your everyday. And you don't need to build a new building, or you don't need to be involved in heavy politics to be able to participate in your city and change your well-being.
Maria Nicanor with us from the Guggenheim. Maybe you've already seen their exhibit, Participatory City, 100 Urban Trends from the BMW Guggenheim Lab. The museum has highlighted 100 ideas, big and small, that cities around the world are grappling with. And here's a trend that's an invention, really. It's 3D printing. Big on this list of terms. Everybody seems to be talking about 3D printing. And another one is sensors, number 79 in the glossary. How are sensors, and we mean sensors with an S, not a C, changing the way that cities operate?
Well, there's an unprecedented movement of being able to measure things that we could never before measure, and that is thanks to very sometimes basic sensor technology. And one of the shifts that is happening is that not only can we measure it now, but we can drive conclusions. There's a big trend in urban mapping, but the most important part about being able to sense things is not just to collect the data and sense it and map it, but to make sense of it afterward. So sensors is just one part of the equation, and being able to collect data that we didn't know about before can allow us to apply effective solutions.
Glossary term 44 is the informal economy, which seems so timely to New York City right now because of the wrestling over Airbnb being in the news, kind of a peer-to-peer economy thing. When you say the informal economy, do you just mean the underground or illegal economy?
Well, this is a term that that we started using and that was very much discussed in the Guggenheim Lab in Mumbai. So as it refers to that city, it was mainly about exchanges that did not imply any regulation or taxation, and how at least 90% of Mumbai workers are employed informally. So, of course, this might mean that you might get paid a little better because you're not paying taxes. But, of course, there's all the issues involved with it as that it's obviously an illegal practice, there's a lack of security and safe working conditions. So it referred more to that specific case.
Number 30 on the list is Disneyfication. And when we saw that term, we thought for sure it was being used specifically to describe Times Square in New York City. But you have Disneyfication as a global concept that cities are dealing with.
Yeah, we started talking about Disneyfication in the context of Berlin when we were there doing programs. There are many Times Squares in many cities around the world. In the case of Berlin, we were talking about Checkpoint Charlie, and the discussion is around whether there should be a Cold War museum in that specific location in the city or not. So it's a very contested discussion that involves many politicians and many people that lived through the Cold War. So there's very, very heated opinions about whether homogenizing that part of the city is a positive or negative thing to do.
Number 20 in the glossary is container architecture. And that's related to other terms in the glossary like microarchitecture and dumpster design. So when you talk about container architecture, is this about temporary use?
It is about temporary use, and it's a trend that started happening initially more for disaster relief and building temporary housing on occasions. It's a very quick way of setting up a dwelling in very little time. But it's also now become very commercialized, and we can see some cities around the world where pop-up stores from very well-known brands are using container architecture as a trendy thing to do that looks edgy and rough. So it definitely talks about that, the temporality of architecture and what it can do, but it's also criticizing this commercialization of temporary architecture as well.
And another of the concepts is toxic neighborhoods, number 87, which doesn't have to do with pollution necessarily, right?
No, this term speaks more to the inequality of disposing waste in our own cities. So how even certain trucks go through certain neighborhoods in the city to dispose of waste, and while they wouldn't go into other ones. In particular, we worked with a community in the Bronx here in New York where a lot of the waste from New York City ends up, and how those neighborhoods end up being very toxic. There's pollution issues that that cause asthma in some of those areas of the city. So we end up having very privileged neighborhoods that never have to deal with our waste, while others get all the worst part of it.
I'll tell you what, let me sneak in one phone call before you go from somebody who's been to the Guggenheim and actually seen this exhibit with the 100 Urban Trends, Doug in Park Slope. Hi, Doug. We have about 30 seconds for you.
Hi, just really quickly, I really enjoyed all the exhibitions, graduate student focusing on urban politics. I really enjoyed the exhibition, how you, it's in the name itself, but how you can participate in the urban politics and urban government as well. So I was really interested in Trend 62, participatory budgeting, and I'm now currently actually involved with that in my local city council district.
All right, thank you very much. So we'll finish up with one more, number 17 from your list, collective memory. Do we have a collective memory?
I hope we do. We need to remember what we've done in the past so that we can know what our cities are going to be in the future. This program and the place where the term came from was specifically about the 9/11 memorial and the creation of the 9/11 memorial. But it speaks way beyond that. I just came back from Japan yesterday, where it's been 2 years after the earthquake and the tsunami happened there. And it's a very present thing, the collective memory issue, and whether memorials should be built or not built for disasters of this type. It's an important thing to move forward. We can't forget our past and what has happened to our cities and the scars that they have.
In our last 20 seconds or so, what do you hope people will take away from visiting this exhibit at the Guggenheim?
Hopefully they get a sense of ownership of their own city. We're very used to going to museums and having very passive acts of contemplation. And this exhibit is all about the opposite. It's about becoming involved and having a voice in your own city, because cities are our own.
Maria Nicanor, curator of the exciting new exhibit at the Guggenheim called Participatory City, 100 Urban Trends from the BMW Guggenheim Lab. It runs until January, and there are also public programs running all season about the future of urban life. There's a link on our website to more information. Go to WNYC.org and click on Brian Lehrer Show to check it out. Maria, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.